Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the eighth chapter. And today we're doing text number 51. Sri Charana Uchuhu Hare Tavangri Pankajam Baba Pavargam Ashritaha Ashritaha Yad Esha Sadhu Hrich Chayas Tvayasura Samapitaha. So notice, on the second line there's a long A with an Anuswara, I'm sorry, Visarga at the end. And on the fourth line there's a short A. So they're not pronounced the same. I mean, we've been doing this for years now. We should get it right. When there's a long A, it's A-ha. And when it's a short A, it's A-ha. Okay? Shitarana uchuhu Hare tavangri pankajam Bhava pavargam ashitaha Yadesha sadhu hrichayas Tvaya surak samapitaha Sri Charana Uchuhu Hare Tavangri Pankajam Vava Pavargam Ashitaha Yadesha Sadhu Hichchayas Tvayasurak Samapitaha Sri Charana Uchuhu Hare Tavangri Pankajam Bhava pavargam ashitaha Yaresha sadhu hrichayas Tvaya surak samapitaha. Please chant. Sri Charana uchuhu Hare tavangri pankajam Bhava pavargam ashitaha Eresha sadhu hrichayas Tvayasurak samapitaha Sri Charana uchuhu Hare tavangri pankajam Bhava pavargam ashitaha Eresha sadhu hrichayas Tvayasurak samapitaha Sri Charana Uchuhu Hare Tavangri Pankajam Bhava Pavargam Ashitaha Yaresha Sadhu Hrichayas Tvayasarak Samapitaha Omkar Das. Chant. Okay, Vaishnavis. Sri Charana Uchuhu Hare Tavangri Pankajam Baba Pavargam Ashitaha Yaresha Sadhu Hrichayas Tvayasurak Samapitaha Sri Charana Uchuhu Hare Tavangri Pankajam Bhava Pavargam Ashitaha Yad Esha Sadhu Hrichayas Tvaya Surak Samapitaha. Okay, synonyms. Sri Charana Uchuhu. The inhabitants of the Charana planet said. Hare, O Lord, Tava, Yor, Angripankajam, Lotus Feet, Bhava Apavargam, the only shelter for becoming free from the contamination of material existence. Ashitaha, sheltered at, yet, because, Eshaha, this, Sadhu Hrishayaha, stake in the hearts of all honest persons, Twaya, by your lordship, Asuraha, the demon, Hiranyakashipu, Samapitaha, finished. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The inhabitants of the Charana planet said, O Lord, because you have destroyed the demon Hiranyakashipu, who was always a stake in the hearts of all honest men, we are now relieved and we eternally take shelter of your lotus feet, which award the conditioned soul liberation from materialistic contamination. Please repeat. The inhabitants of the Charana planet said, O Lord, because you have destroyed the demon Hiranyakashipu, who was always a stake in the hearts of all honest men, we are now relieved, and we eternally take shelter of your lotus feet, which award the conditioned soul liberation from materialistic contamination. Srila Prabhupada's purport for this verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his transcendental form of Narahari, Narasinghadev, is always ready to kill the demons, who always create disturbances in the minds of honest devotees. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement, devotees have to face many dangers and impediments all over the world. But a faithful servant who preaches with great devotion to the Lord must know that Lord Narasinghadev is always his protector. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschachyadeshtarini Om Agyana Timirandasi Agyana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantakam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitang Sham Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriya Vancha kopa turubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So one by one, the residents of different areas of the universe are coming before Lord Narasinghadev, who still in his ugra feature, angry and difficult to look at, difficult to be near. For those who are not pure, for those who are completely pure, they are attracted to Krishna in all of his aspects. They see Krishna as attractive in all features. Just like we have that painting of Bhishma Dev standing on the chariot. Krishna's rushing at him with a chariot wheel ready to take his head off, but he's seeing Krishna's beautiful. So whatever aspect the Lord shows to the devotees understand. Prabhupada himself said that during World War II, he was sitting to dinner, having kachoris, and the bomb sirens went off, bombs were coming to Calcutta. But he was saying, if Krishna comes in the form of a bomb, it's Krishna, it's okay. He just kept on eating his kachoris. He was not worried about it. So the devotees, they know Krishna's in complete control. One of the last things Prabhupada said before leaving this planet is, if you see that video, Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. So a devotee always sees Krishna's in control of every single situation. Not that, you know, this bhakta so-and-so is giving me a hard time and therefore I have to do something. You know, we just, Krishna's in control of the situation, so we're not worried about it. So, but here, these residents, and the point also to be taken is that there are other living beings throughout the universe. It's not a barren place. It's not barren. Every single square centimeter of this universe is populated. Just because we can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. There are so many aspects of this material existence that we cannot see, but we take for granted, like the oxygen that we're breathing right now. If there's no oxygen in this room, we all keel over and die. We take it for granted. There's oxygen here, we're breathing it, but we can't see it. So not being able to see something doesn't mean it does not exist. This is the folly of the materialists. They think if I can't see something, it doesn't exist. Or they doubt its existence. But there are so many aspects of this material manifestation that we cannot see. But we, our very lives depend on them, just like oxygen. Our bodies depend on oxygen to be inhaled, mixed with the blood. That's what keeps the body going. But we can't see that oxygen. Doesn't mean it's not there, and it's not vital. So there are so many vital aspects of this material manifestation that we cannot see. So just because the so-called scientists have not rubber-stamped that it's okay to believe in these other beings doesn't mean that we should follow their lead. No. They're just misinformed. Like recently there was a meteor that exploded over some part of Russia. And they're very interested in that. They scramble to find little fragments of this, which is just rock. Basically, it's rock. A big rock exploded. And everybody's anxious to see a little piece of that rock. And of course, the scammers are at work immediately. The very next day, people are selling fake pieces of that rock on the internet for thousands of dollars. A real piece, certified piece, was going for $10,000. So of course, the scammers realized, hey, it's bonanza here. So they were advertising, this came from that meteorite, this piece of rock. It's rock! There's so much rock around here, who cares? Whether it's earth rock or extraterrestrial rock, it's stone, who cares? But when we worship a beautiful stone, if you want to say that the deity is a stone, when we worship a beautiful stone, they make fun of us. You're worshiping stone. You're worshiping a piece of rock you don't even know where it came from. You're willing to pay $10,000 for it. At least our rock is beautiful. Gorgeous. Beyond description. So who's more intelligent? The person who's willing to pay $10,000 for a little piece of rock they're not even sure where it came from? Might even be dangerous. Could be radioactive. There could be some organisms there that you look at it, touch it, it kills you. But they're still willing to pay for it. But this piece of rock, they don't want to see. They make fun of it. So we should not be so foolish. We follow in the footsteps of the great souls, the great acharyas who know what is what. And that should be the driving force in every aspect of life. Just like now tax season is coming around. Who wants to go to some guy standing on the corner who claims to be a tax accountant? You want to make sure you go to H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt or someplace where, you know, they're certified. They know what they're doing. And then you give your information there and they file your taxes for you. Or if you have some medical problem, you don't want to just, you know, walk up to some guy going by on the street and say, are you a doctor? Can you help me with it? No. You want to find a certified doctor. So when in the spiritual realm, you want to find a certified spiritualist to inquire about spiritual matters, not just of whatever anybody says. Some guy, because he has a degree in physics, he thinks he can tell you about the origin of the universe, where everything came from. He doesn't know. And the way they work is, he comes up with a theory, he submits it for peer review. It's being reviewed by other people who also went to some university somewhere and think they know something. And if they say, yes, this theory sounds good, then it's accepted and it's taught as fact. Then you go to high school, college, whatever, and they teach it to you like, this is a fact. So that's cheating. So we're following in the footsteps of pure souls who heard from another pure soul, who ultimately this is all coming from Krishna, this knowledge in the Vedas. And the Vedic knowledge is telling us that all over the universe, there are these personalities. They're now coming before the Lord, and they're glorifying him, but they're also stating a specific grievance that they had with Hiranyakashipu. Very interesting. So I'm going to go back to the beginning. It started out with Lord Brahma. We're going to just read briefly, quickly, everybody's complaint, because everybody had a specific complaint against Hiranyakashipu, just like now we have our government here in the United States. So some people are satisfied with some aspects, but they don't like some other aspects. And somebody else, just the opposite. What you don't like, and they don't like what you like. So like that, everybody's got their... Practically material life means every day, practically every moment, I'm piling up a list of grievances that I want addressed. Either I'm going to try to address it myself, or I'm wondering, why doesn't God help me? If there is a God, here's my list, why doesn't he do something about it? That's another thing that throws people for a loop. Because they think if there is God, then whatever I want him to do, he should just do it. Anyway, so let's go back to, I think it was text 37, let's see, yeah. So Narada Muni is telling the story, and he says in text 37, it's 37 through 39. My dear King Yudhishthira, the demigods then approached the Lord. They were headed by Lord Brahma, King Indra, and Lord Shiva, and included great persons and the residents of Pitriloka. And now we're hearing where these people are coming from. Pitriloka, Siddhaloka, Vidyadharaloka, and the planet of the snakes. Now, if you go to the average person on the street and tell them there's a planet of the snakes, he'll say, yeah, right. But we take it on the strength of Bhagavatam, there's a planet of the snakes. This planet is full of snake-like people. You know that verse, Chanakya Pandit. Sarpa Kura Kala Kura. There are two types of envious personalities. Sarpa, the snake, and the human being who's snake-like. Anyway, continuing. The Manus approached, and so did the chiefs of various other planets. The angelic dancers approached, as did the Gandharvas, the Charanas, whose complaint we're hearing today we'll get back to, the Yakshas, the inhabitants of Kinara Loka. That's an interesting compound, Kinara. Kim means what, and Nara means man. Yeah. So, Kim Nara. Kim means what? So you're asking a question, is that a man? When you put it together, it becomes Kinara. In other words, the inhabitants of that planet, they have a strange appearance. You don't know, are they men or what are they? You know, so... Kinara Loka, the Vaitalas, the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka, same thing. Kim means what and Purusha means? Yeah, similar. So Kim Purusha Loka, and the personal servants of Vishnu like Sunanda and Kumuda. All of them came near the Lord who glowed with intense light. They individually offered their obeisances and prayers, their hands folded at their heads. So then we get to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma prayed, my Lord, you are unlimited and you possess unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful influence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universe, maintain it, and again annihilate it. Yet, you remain the same without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So that's Lord Brahma. He just glorified the Lord. He didn't really complain about anything. Then next is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, the end of the millennium is a time for your anger. Now that this insignificant demon Hiranyakashipu has been killed, O my Lord, who are naturally affectionate to your devotee, kindly protect his son Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee. So similarly, Lord Shiva didn't have any grievance to submit to the Lord. He just asked him to wind up his anger. King Indra said, now the complaints start. O Supreme Lord, you are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, so this is what Indra was concerned about. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. Because the demoniac King Hiranyakashipu was most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now, by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, for those who always engage in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation. not to speak of the benefits of kama, artha, and dharma. So that was Indra's grievance. He was mad that Hiranyakashipu was taking away the shears of sacrifice. This is what maintains the demigods in their position. 43. All the saintly persons present offered their prayers in this way. O Lord, O supreme maintainer of those sheltered at your lotus feet, O original personality of Godhead, the process of austerity and penance in which you instructed us before is the spiritual power of your very self. It is by austerity that you create the material world which lies dormant within you. This austerity was almost stopped by the activities of this demon. So now, saintly persons are complaining that austerities were stopped. Because austerity is the lifeblood of the spiritual community. Anyone who is a so-called spiritualist and is not performing prescribed austerities at least, not even anything more than that, but at least the prescribed austerities then is not really on the spiritual path. This austerity was almost stopped by the activities of this demon, but now by yourself appearing in the form of Nrsimhadev, which is meant just to give us protection, and by killing this demon, you have again approved the process of austerity. 44. Now the Pitas are speaking. The inhabitants of Pitriloka prayed, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrsimhadev, the maintainer of the religious principles of the universe. He has killed Hiranyakashipu, the demon, who by force enjoyed all the offerings of the Shraddha ceremonies." So this was their complaint. Those who are in Pitriloka, they're maintained by their offspring offering the Shraddha ceremony, Pinda, and it was stopped by Hiranyakashipu, so they felt that, the brunt of that. By force enjoyed all the offerings of the Shraddha ceremonies performed by our sons and grandsons on the anniversaries of our death, and who drank the water with sesame seeds offered in holy places of pilgrimage. By killing this demon, O Lord, you have taken back all this stolen property from his abdomen by piercing it with your nails. We therefore wish to offer our respectful obeisances unto you. And 45, the Siddhas are speaking. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed, O Lord Nrsimhadev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. So that's their grievance. They no longer had their eight mystic abilities. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. 46, the Vidyadharas are speaking. The inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka prayed, our acquired power to appear and disappear in various ways according to varieties of meditation was banned by that foolish Hiranyakashipu because of his pride in his superior bodily strength and his ability to conquer others. So the Vidyadharas were upset because Hiranyakashipu took away their ability to appear and disappear. Now the Supreme Personality of God has killed him just as if the demon were an animal. Unto that supreme pastime form of Lord Nrsimhadev, we eternally offer our respectful obeisances. Then the Nagas, the inhabitants of Nagaloka said, the most sinful Hiranyakashipu took away all the jewels in our hoods and all our beautiful wives. So that was their complaint. Jewels on the hoods are important. Why? Because in their region, the sun doesn't shine. They get light from the jewel on their hoods. So if you take away all the jewels, they're in darkness. And of course, wives, everybody can understand. No man wants his wife to be usurped by another man. So those were their two main complaints. He took away our jewels, which gives the light by which we can see everything, and he took away our wives. Now, since his chest has been pierced by your nails, you are the source of all pleasure to our wives. Thus we together offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Then 48, the Manavas. All the Manus offer their prayers as follows. As your order carriers, O Lord, we the Manus are the lawgivers for human society. But because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, Our laws for maintaining Varnashram Dharma were destroyed. So that is their complaint. Haryanakashipu stopped people from executing their duties in Varnashram Dharma. O Lord, now that you have killed this great demon, we are in our normal condition. Kindly order us, your eternal servants, what to do now. Then 49, the Prajapatis. The Prajapatis offer their prayers as follows. O Supreme Lord, Lord of even Brahma and Shiva, we, the Prajapatis, were created by you to execute your orders, but we were forbidden by Hiranyakashipu to create any more good progeny. So that's their complaint. Their duty, their seva, as it were, is to populate the universe with good progeny. Good, not just willy-nilly anybody, but good progeny. They want to bring progressive, advanced souls into the world. Because when the world is full of good progeny, then there's chance of peace and spiritual progressive life. But when the world is full of demons, those are demonically inclined. And that happens when, as Arjuna says in the first chapter, Adharma Bhavat Krishna, Padukshanti Kulasriya, Sri Shu Dushya Shivarsaya, Jayate Varna Sankara. When the world is full of this Varna Sankara, which literally means those whose varnas cannot be determined because they're not getting any training, they have no culture, so you don't know. You're dealing with a Brahmana, Chacha, Vaishya. Immediately, when there's no systematic division, then everybody's shudraless, kalau shudra sambhava. They're outside the varnashram practically because there's no training. So when the world is full of such personalities, then you have chaos and you have, there's no peace. Every single day, as we know, if you even happen to glance at the news, anywhere in the world, it's just chaos and turmoil and people suffering. And then, the people that they look to for leadership, they either throw up their hands, so then why are you a leader then if you don't know what to do? Get out of the way and let somebody else lead who knows what to do. They either throw up their hands or they give some bad advice. So the people continue to suffer. So the world needs good progeny. So the Prajapatis continued, now the demon is lying dead before us, his chest pierced by you. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, whose incarnation in this form of pure goodness is meant for the welfare of the entire universe. And text 50, the Gandharvas. The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka prayed, your lordship, we ever engage in your service by dancing and singing in dramatic performances. That's their service. But this Hiranyakashipu, by the influence of his bodily strength and valor, brought us under his subjugation. Now he has been brought to this low condition by your lordship. What benefit can result from the activities of such an upstart as Hiranyakashipu? So, interestingly, this Hiranyakashipu was able to, it's not like he was sitting in one place and sending out, emails or something. He went all over the universe and conquered everybody. Now, according to modern science, you can't do that. It will take billions of years to get from this planet to some star out there and, like that. You can't do that. But Vedic cosmology says, no, you're wrong. Somebody who has the power can do that. They can go everywhere all over the universe and conquer everybody in their very lifetime. They don't have to, spend billions of years getting to some star and another billions of years getting to another star. No, they can get around the universe at will, quickly. Then, today's verse, 51. So what do the Charanas, what are they complaining about? The inhabitants of the Charana planet said, O Lord, because you have destroyed the demon Hiranyakashipu, who is always a stake in the hearts of all honest men, we are now relieved and we eternally take shelter of your lotus feet, which award the conditioned soul liberation from materialistic contamination. So why was he a stake in the heart of honest men? To make them dishonest? Prabhupada says in the purport, Lord Nrisimhadeva is always ready to kill the demons who always create disturbances in the minds of honest devotees. So, the beginning of honesty, like Shakespeare said, first of all, to thine own self be true. So if we're honest, the very first expression of honesty is that I'm not God. Right? There may or may not be a God, but if we take as a definition, God is the supreme being, the supreme controller, then any honest person, the first honest conclusion you come to is that I am not God. What kind of God am I if every time there's a little toothache, I got to run find a dentist? Every time there's a little twinge here, I don't even know which organ it is. I have to run to some internist to tell me it's this organ or that organ. I don't even know what's going on inside my own body. I can't fix my own teeth. I can't, you know, if I need spectacles, anybody here know how to make eyeglasses? Can you grind me a new pair? You know, we can't, you know, we're so limited. So the first step in honesty is to look in the mirror and say to yourself, you're not God. That's the first step in honesty. Then from that position, one can go out and try to find God. But if you're still confused thinking that you are God, in spite of the embarrassed situation that we find ourselves inside these material bodies, if we're still so intoxicated, so foolish that we're thinking that we're God, then there's very little hope of finding God. So that's the first step in honesty. And then if one actually honestly goes out and tries to find God, then one will, when one ultimately comes in contact with God, be a devotee of God. It is natural for the small to worship and serve the great. That's natural. So this is what honest devotees do. And Hiranyakashipu, because he was intoxicated, he was thinking that he was God, he was a stake in their hearts. He wanted them to worship him. What other God? Like Prahlad, he's asking Prahlad, what God are you talking about? I'm the supreme here. I don't see any God around. Where? Show me. Which God are you talking about? That's the attitude of the Asuras, the demons. Puffed up with a little bit of position, just like yesterday it was, or the day before, the former president of Venezuela passed away, you know. And is Chaturka here? She's from Venezuela. Most of the Venezuelans, they didn't like him. They wanted to run away, come to America, go anywhere else. But now that he's dead, they embalmed the body, put it on display. Millions of people are coming by and crying tears. And come on, it's just a body. People are so foolish. We're so foolish in materialistic consciousness. We worship a dead body. Come to the temple and worship Krishna. No, but worship a dead body. Still in Moscow, people are going to see Lenin and these bodies. Dead body. Dead body. So we're not so foolish, as Prabhupada said. We don't keep stock of dead bodies. Body's dead, burn it. You know, body has no life. The soul is gone. Burn the body. No attachment. But the foolish people, they're attached to the body, and spiritual understanding, they don't want to give any submissive oral reception, and therefore they remain foolish. Okay, we can stop here. I think we have time for maybe one question before we go. Yes, Yashodev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for class.
Hare Krishna.
I was just thinking about Indra had as his complaint, so to speak, that he wasn't, you know, the demigods weren't getting their shares of the sacrifices. Mm-hmm. You know, one could also imagine that he would say, well, you know, us getting the shares of the sacrifices is part of the Lord's system, that they're supposed to be yajna, they're meant to worship the demigods. He even mentions it in the Bhagavad Gita. And I feel like this situation is relevant to a lot of us. Sometimes we find ourselves in a circumstance where we think we're doing something for the Lord. We're pretty convinced that this is what, you know, Krishna wants. This is how things are supposed to go on. But there might also be some more, selfish motivation. Like, without picking on Indra too much, we know that he sometimes gets a little bit greedy, self-concerned with his shares of the sacrifices. So how can we make that distinction? How can we really be really careful to know that our interest in a particular action is really in the interest of the Lord and not for our own selfish satisfaction?
That's what guru is meant for. Indra's guru is Brihaspati. He offended his guru and therefore he got into trouble. And we are meant, all of us, to have a spiritual guide, a guru. Now the guru again comes in different forms. There's the Diksha guru, and we have the Shiksha Guru. We have Shiksha constantly from Srila Prabhupada's books, or we can take Shiksha instructions from a person that we... But it should always be in the mood, in the right mood. If I already made up my mind to do something, don't disturb the devotees by going around asking everybody's opinion. You're just wasting people's time, and, you know, it's not honest. It's dishonest. If you've already made up your mind that you're going to go here, do this, do that, don't disturb the devotees by asking them their opinion. Why? You're not going to take it anyway. One should ask opinions, one should reveal one's mind confidentially, where one is willing to take instruction. So if you're not willing to take the person's opinion seriously, then don't ask it. It's a waste of time. It's just a show. Right? So we should never disturb the guru in that way. Whether it's the Diksha guru or the Shiksha guru, don't disturb the guru in that way. If you've made up your mind, better do what I've told this story many times about that brahmachari in New York. In the 80s, I saw him. He was packing up to leave. I asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to LA. I said, why? He said, well, my guru's coming to New York, and if he comes, he's going to tell me to do something I may not want to do, so I'm leaving. So that's at least honest. That's honest. I'm not going to take his opinion. I'm going to have a different opinion, so let me not even hear it. That's honest. But if you really want, and this is, you know, when we're really in trouble and we really want an answer, then we have to approach a personality from whom we're going to take advice and follow the advice. If you're not going to follow, once I heard Bhakti Tirthamaraj speaking on this point in the Panihati Festival in Atlanta. And he was saying that, you know, Guhyam Akyati Prichati, we know that verse, Tadati Padigunati, Guhyam Akyati Prichati. Revealing your mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially. It doesn't mean that you bring like a garbage truck of problems and dump it on the other person's lawn and then, no. You go and inquire from someone and reveal your mind confidentially to someone whose opinion you're going to take. Again, if you're not going to take the person, it's just like dumping garbage in their consciousness. Why dump your garbage and then not want to hear good advice? If you don't think this person is going to give you good advice, then don't tell them your problem. Go to a person whose opinion you respect enough to take their advice when they give it to you. So this is how we know what we should do and what we should not do. Generally, we have instructions of what to do in spiritual life, but the specific situations arise. So when those specific situations arise, what should I do, what should I not do? Go somewhere, either your Diksha guru or somebody you respect as a Shiksha guru, and reveal your mind confidentially, inquire, and then wait to get the advice and be willing to take the advice. If you know in advance you don't want to or you're not willing to take this person's advice, don't ask them. You're wasting your time, wasting his or her time. That makes sense? Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.